Welcome to the REI Mastermind Network, where host Jack Haas gathers amazing stories from leaders in real estate investing. In each episode, our guests will tell you what they're doing that works, what they've tried that failed, and best of all, you'll learn actionable steps to take your real estate investing to the next level. Now, here's Jack with another value-packed episode.
Brent Bowers joins me here today, and you're going to learn about him and his team by heading over to thelandsharks.com. And the domain says it all. We're going to be talking about land investing and kind of doing a 101, if you will, on how to get into this type of business. Brent and his team are very skilled at this. And again, thelandsharks.com has a lot of great information if this is something that you were considering getting into. Really appreciate you joining me again here, Brent.
Jack, it's good to see your face. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I have to ask, since the last time we talked, what has changed in your business over the past few years?
Yeah, you're going to probably not what you're expecting, but over the last year, I have slowed down. I'm doing less land deals, more profitable land deals, slower turns, focusing on selling them via seller financing, larger, more expensive land deals. But I just, you know, I can share with you how I kind of evolved into that. But it took a lot of work over the years to kind of figure out it's easier to do less when they're more profitable.
You know, it's actually kind of interesting because, I mean, it sounds like in a way we have kind of a similar trajectory because we do house flipping, if you will. I don't want to call it really house flipping because it's more wholetailing where we're doing more profitable, but less activity on each thing. So, because what we had found out is that the more time and effort we were putting in some of these properties, we were making the same amount of actual profit, even when we sold it at a discount or a better discount when we posted it to the MLS. So it's mostly about maintaining the profit versus maintaining the level of work.
Isn't that magical? Sense.
It is magical. Churn it a lot faster.
When I first got into house flipping, well, I'm completely out of it now as of early 2022, but we used to do everything. You know, we thought we had to rebuild the whole house. And, you know, sometimes that's not what buyers want. And it depends on the area. It's such an art. My hat's off to you for figuring that out. I can't say.
How about you then? How did you evolve into what you're doing now then?
Yeah, you know, I started out with a bunch of, you know, cheaper parcels of land. And for anybody that doesn't know my story, I was an Army officer, just had our first baby, and I was preparing for that third combat deployment. And I was just tired of being away from home. You know, I had already had one marriage go south, you know, and I didn't want a second one happening. This time there's children involved. So I had to figure out a way to really just create income to replace my Army income, my W-2 job, those golden handcuffs is what they call it. And I can't even say my handcuffs were golden. They were more like, you know, polished metal, because it's not like I was making a ton in the military. It was just enough to get by and have a decent life. But boy, they definitely, you know, they got their time out of you. You know, you're always gone. You're always away. You're always training. You know, you got to get haircuts every week. It's just, they tell you what to wear, tell you where to be. So it's like, I'm like, you know, I had no control over anything I wanted to do. I was working someone else's agenda was running my life. So I started searching for answers, you know, just like listening to the REI Mastermind Network podcast. And I heard a guy talk about land flipping. So I took action immediately. I started marketing and sending postcards, very simple message. Hey, my name's Brent. I'd like to buy your land in El Paso County, Colorado. If you're interested in an all cash fair price offer, call me or text me. God bless you. Now, these were people that were way behind on their land. It was actually the county held tax lien list. This is land that was like not buildable, not accessible, landlocked, or too small to build on. So really inefficient land. But I sent him a postcard, you know, and just hope for the best, prayed for the best. And my phone started ringing like crazy. And I would get this land under contract for super cheap. I'd buy some of it. Sometimes I would just sell my contract and I'd just go out there and market it. It was just a marketing game. It's not about the real estate. I didn't care about the land. It was about, you know, finding one man's trash, or we call them the don't wanters, and turning it into someone else's treasure. So I'd buy this land for like a couple hundred bucks and sell it for 5,000. And I just kept doing that and doing that. And then I would seller finance some of them. And these were on shorter term notes. Like a lot of them were like 12 to 18 months. Before I knew it, I was making like $9,000 a month in payments, passive income, by seller financing this land. And I just built it into a business. Now it turned into a big volume game. I was doing like 9 a week at one time when I got out of the military. And that was a little, that was too much. It got to be a little intense, and I had to have a team, and I scaled it to 15 people. And my wife kind of called me out one day. He's like, you got out of the military, now you had all this time, and now you replaced that time with all this extra work and the scale of your real estate business, and you're doing all these deals. You're making more money now, but you're not happy. And I was like, oh, you're right. So we completely like recalibrated everything. I got rid of a lot of dead weight on the team, which made me happier. I'm no longer daddy daycare, answering questions all day long, supporting my team, because I almost felt like I worked for them. I was at their beck and call. And now it's just a couple of us, me, my executive assistant, my accountant, and a part-time acquisition manager. And we're way more profitable. We do a deal or two a month, you know, maybe one a week max. And these are like $50,000 profit deals, $75,000 profit deals, or we just added another couple $1,000s a month in passive income in the past 45 days. So those are the deals I'm doing. Now we have, you know, the payments coming in are roughly 70 land notes that if we don't work for the next 5 years, the money keeps coming.
Do you mind me asking, like, what type of activity or exercise did you go through to realize to make this change? Because you were doing that level of volume.
Yeah.
And now you're more profitable doing fewer.
Yeah.
Like there must have been something. I know your wife mentioned something, but there must have been something else that kind of pointed you in that direction.
Yeah, it's like some people call that the come to Jesus moment. And what happened was I was flipping 7 houses as well as doing my land business. So we were renovating, full on renovations. 3 of them were on large acreage. This is in 2021, 2022, when the interest rates went up a little bit, when we had that first increase, and building 2 spec homes. And again, while running my land business. And when the interest rates went up, we now realized that people that could have afforded an $800,000 house can now only afford, and this is a couple of years ago now, they can now only afford a $550,000 house. And I had a fortune wrapped up into this. I had a lot of cash wrapped up into this, but it was okay. As long as I waited 30 days, I'd get more money from the land account. And I hired a virtual CFO. His name was David Richter. We started implementing the Profit First system. And I realized it was a hard day, but the accountants, like, I can't even say that I came up with this myself. The accountant pointed out to me, he was like, you're way more profitable in land and you've lost a lot of money in houses. So that day I started cleaning houses. I started canceling expenses and canceling credit cards and really just started focusing on where they call it the 80-20 rule, where I was making the money. And I really just focused hard on that and stopped everything else, turned everything else off. And it was hard because you build all these babies and you start these companies and you think you're profitable, but really you're just building your ego the entire time. So I just had to get the ego out of the way. And it was, you know, kind of had to tuck my tail between the legs and close up shop on the house and wholesale business and just focus on what I was truly profitable at, which was the land business.
You know, those bigger deals now on the lands, you're finding more profit there. Could you point to any growth there just because of the focus?
Yeah. So the focus is definitely, because here's the thing, we can only focus on like 1, maybe 2, maybe 3 things. And my wife always argues with me. I was like, we're not made to multitask. Same thing with multi-businesses. You know, we get lucky for a while, but eventually something is going to go by the wayside. Things will start to fail. So I started looking at where I was making money and it was on the larger parcels where I was purchasing for over $150,000. Now, I'm not telling people to start there. It's truly easy to start in land. The reason why I go after like $100,000 to $150,000 purchase price, and I try and stay under a $300,000 purchase price, is because that amount of land, it moves within a few months. And here's what's even better. There's virtually no competition. There's virtually no competition. And you might be thinking, I don't have $150,000 to purchase the land. Well, here's the thing. Other people do. If you don't have the money, other people do. There's builders, there's developers out there. There's private lenders, normal people out there that will lend money on these land deals. And I can share with how we're finding these land deals, you know, how we're selling these land deals. For anybody listening to this, is like, okay, this sounds great, but how do I do it if I'm still working my 9-to-5 job? Or how do I do it if I'm still flipping houses? It's just a series of steps. And I call them a series of wins. You know, I want results, and we do a couple steps to get those results.
Well, could you start things off? Let's say somebody's hearing this and they've been hearing about land flipping for quite some time. They need to dip their toe into the water of land flipping. Where should they start?
Yeah, the best place to start, and even if you haven't heard of land flipping, I mean, it's one of the oldest businesses. I mean, land's been around forever, since before we were here. So this is not how I started. I started in my own backyard because I just didn't know better. I made a ton of mistakes. But now what I found that works the best for me, my business, and many of our other Landsharks community members is I go where there's demand. I go where land is selling. Why? Because one, I don't want to go and create demand. I want to fill the demand. I want to be an order taker, basically. Hey, welcome to McDonald's. How may I take your order type thing? So where land selling is we go out there and fill that order. Number two is we see what that land is selling for, the price per acre, the price per square foot. And once we figure that out, we reverse engineer that, or backwards plan it is what we call it in the military, and figure out, okay, if I want to make a $10,000 profit, and I've got 10 acres and it's selling for $2,000 an acre, well, I need to send what I call my LOL, my land offer letter, a purchase agreement or an offer letter for $1,000 an acre. That's going to give me roughly 50 cents on the dollar to buy that land, to get it under contract, as well as a $10,000, you know, profit. And I'm just doing really round numbers for anybody that's like really analytical and they're tracking. It's like, okay, well, what about realtor expenses and closing costs? Okay, forget about those for right now. Let's keep this simple. I'm just trying to get that land under contract at a discount and either sell my contract or buy it and list it with a land sales specialist real estate agent. Keywords, like that's worth $1 million right there to me. It took me forever to start realizing that I could use real estate agents, land sales specialist real estate agents, to sell this land for me. For the longest time, I was selling it myself. For the longest time, I was doing lesser expensive parcels of land in the middle of nowhere. It's way easier to go and get a piece of land under contract that's in high demand at a discount and have experts, specialists, real estate, land sales specialists, real estate agents sell that land for you, because sometimes they've got buyers. Sometimes they got lenders that will help lend on it. Sometimes they can tell you, hey, streets A through E have power and water and sewer. Streets F through G, they have nothing. So the land's worth half the value on those streets. So that's just, it's so good to have those experts that are in those neighborhoods, those communities. And that's your boots on ground.
You mentioned that you kind of go where the market demands now. Would you suggest that that's where most people should go, or should they start in their own backyard?
Sorry, I had to turn that AC on. It was getting really hot in here. So I started my own backyard, again, because I didn't know better. I didn't know how to do this. But a lot of our Landsharks community members, they will go where the demand's at. So I highly recommend finding the demand. You don't have to be there. You don't have to be close by. Now, if you could be within a couple hours driving distance, that'd be amazing. You know, it's great to kind of see the land, you know, the first couple, you know, meet buyers possibly. Yeah, it's easier in your own backyard, but not everyone has that ability. So I say go where the demand's at, go where the land's selling at. even if it's virtual, even if it's another state over, preferably like if you can get in a vehicle and drive to it over the weekend, that's amazing, especially in your first couple, but it's not an absolute like deal breaker.
So you've mentioned a couple of things, getting it under contract, selling that contract. Let's start there. How do you suggest people, now they found the property, how do they develop a buyer's list, or how do they disposition this?
Yeah, great question. So what's really cool about land selling, it's not like houses. It's not as, you know, it's not as quick, fast paced. You know, a lot of time our landowners are not in as big of a hurry because they've owned it for many years, or they might have inherited it. They don't owe anything on it. It's free and clear. It's not like a house. You know, a lot of times people see houses that are vacant as like ticking time bombs, or they're moving to another house and they have two mortgages. That's when you got to hurry up as a real estate investor. But as land investors, we usually have more time. So I get it anywhere from 30 to like 90 days for an inspection period on this parcel of land. And AKA, that allows me to market this land. And I have that conversation with the seller. We're not beating around the bush here. You know, I let the seller know. When I was in the military, I said, hey, this is my side hustle. This is how I keep diapers on three babies. Do you have any issue with me earning a little profit on this parcel of land? I buy and sell these. This is how I can do so many of them. I don't keep them. But what I do is I'm called the guerrilla marketer. I market these things everywhere. You're going to see people driving by the land. You might see it on Craigslist or Facebook and signs and realtors walking by. Do you have any issue with any of that? And most of the time, 9 times out of 10, they're like, no. Good, more power to you type thing. So then I kept my obligation. If they see it on Facebook, or if they've seen it on the multiple listing service. Now, I'm not saying that you can list a parcel that you don't own in all states. That's between you, the real estate broker, and a real estate attorney, if you're allowed to do that in your state. I'm not giving legal advice out here, but here's some of the top ways I sell the land before I even buy it, or I have a buyer lined up ahead of time, because I never want to get stuck with a piece of land that I can't sell. And that's never happened. There's a buyer for every piece of land. Really, there is. But it's better when you're first starting out to sell it quickly and for a profit, because most people, like, if they can make an extra $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 a month, or double their income, that's life-changing. I know it was for me when I was just getting started. And if anybody's like, well, I've got a ton of money, you know, I work with people like that too, because I'm looking for more partners to do bigger land deals together with. So if you got some cash on the side, or in the stock market, or underneath your mattress, and you want to put it to work and secure it with real estate, reach out to me. I'm doing deals all the time with people. But going back to how to disposition that land, how to sell that land, here's my top best ways. One, a land sales specialist real estate agent. They can help you in a number of ways. They sometimes have buyers, cash buyers, the builders, developers, or they'll pop it on the MLS for you. You just got to be very careful to say that you're not the actual owner of the land. You have an interest in the land, or an equitable interest in the land, because you have it under contract. Number two, signs. They could be as simple as 3 acres. We'll finance in your phone number. I like to try and finance every single parcel of land that I have, because I want passive income. I don't want to do a deal today and have to go find another one tomorrow. I want to do a deal today and get paid for 30 years if possible on it at a nice interest rate. So those signs, they attract people in the area. I put them at red lights. We put them, you know, at stop signs where someone can slow down, take a photo. But here's what those signs get sometimes is the neighbors. Number three, neighbor letters, reaching out to the neighbors, because the neighbors always want to own more land. I can't tell you how often me and the land sharks in our community sell to the neighbor. So we get the neighbor letters, we text neighbors, we call the neighbors. Then there's Craigslist, and then there's Facebook Marketplace, Facebook buy sell group. My dad sold over 60 something parcels of land now in his area on Facebook. It's crazy. People buy land all day long on Facebook. So those are my top best ways to sell land. And there's other ways, like looking up the cash buyers in the area, who's buying land, the LLCs that are buying land in the last 6 months. Those are usually your builders, your developers. You can look at those things on PropStream or Batch Skip Tracing, List Source. So there's like a million ways. I mean, I shouldn't say a million. There's like really like 8 major ways to sell land very quickly. And that 60 days, I want to be omnipresent. I want to be everywhere. I call that a force multiplier. Because if I put a sign up and I call the neighbors and I text them and I send them a letter, like I'm turning every stone. And eventually, if you do deals long enough in that county, the people that reply to you or comment on your Facebook post, they might not buy today, but they might buy 3 months from now. I see that a lot. I would just say, hey, my virtual assistant, I paid a couple dollars, like $7 or $8 an hour. She was super happy with that, but she had a script. She would say, hey, you know, I understand you didn't want to buy this parcel, but would you be interested in hearing about others? And she would kind of like figure out like what they were interested, how much money they had to spend. And then she would get the phone number and their email, preferably a mobile number, because we would text them and email them our land deals.
Just to remind everybody, learn more about Brent and his community of land sharks by going to thelandsharks.com. And there's a lot of great resources there as well, as Brent kind of guides people through this. And if you found some value in what we're talking about here so far, do us a quick favor and share it with an investor friend. And if you're watching it on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. So Brent, you've mentioned this now. Guerrilla marketing. I really like the fact that you're so upfront with these sellers, that you are guerrilla marketer, and they're going to see this everywhere. Because I've had buyers, sellers come back a little surprised at, I'm buying it for this and I'm selling it for that. You being that direct and upfront really kind of goes a long way when you're dealing with sellers.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's like setting expectations, you know.
And it kind of adds to your credibility too. When you're that upfront with people and you're not even hiding that, it actually typically seems to help. But you also bring up the financing. Can you talk a little bit about the process there? And let's say somebody's getting into this the first time. They're just they're going to get a small parcel under contract. Are you typically trying to recoup what you're paying for the land in that down payment when you're selling it? Or
yeah,
how does that process look like?
Yeah, with those smaller parcels, when I was buying them for $5,000 or $1,500 or $3,500, I would buy them for $500 or $600, and then I would sell them for $6,000. I was trying to 10x my money on the first several. And I started this in 2015, 2016. So this is kind of, again, the evolution of it. I would get that $600 back out of it, or as a down payment. And then I would get a couple hundred dollars a month for, you know, a few years. And then it turned into like $3,000 deals that I would buy, and then I'd sell it for $30,000. And then I started buying the price range of like I bought one for $115, and we ended up, you know, this is a recent one. I bought it for $115. I got a lender to lend most of the money. I had some cash into it as well, and I got $25,000 down for that one. So that almost got all of my personal cash out, but my lender stayed in place because she wanted to earn interest for a longer period of time. So it worked out really well. I bought it for $115 and I sold it for $225,000. I got $25,000 back. I put that money in an account so I can replenish my bank account. And my payment to my lender is roughly $640 a month. My payment from my land buyer, because he is now a $200,000 mortgage at about, I think he got 10.99%. And his payment is roughly $1,903 a month to me. So do the math, 18, 7, 6, 15, 14, 13. I'm keeping about $1,250 a month, $1,250 a month for the next 30 years on that, that land deal, and nothing will ever break. No tenants, no termites, no roof leaks, no, none of that stuff. It's vacant land. Nothing can break on it.
So with that, do you use it like a loan servicer or anything to handle these payments, or is it just coming directly to you?
Yeah, I use a loan servicing or it's a software. If anybody wants to go to easynotetracking.com, it's ran via GeekPay. That service costs about $45 a month for your first 10 notes. And then after that, it's $100 a month total, not per note. And I charge my land buyers a note service fee of $25 per month. So I'm actually making money on that too. But I shouldn't say I'm making money. It really pays my CPA and my bookkeeper to help me with all, you know, the tax documents and whatnot. So it's kind of a wash. But yeah, that adds up when you have 70 something notes at $25 a piece.
Depending on the state, I'm sure this is going to be different, but how about when somebody gets behind on their payments? What is the process there? And is it a similar process regarding foreclosure?
So here's the thing. Anytime I collect at least $5,000 or more since 2015, I've never had to foreclose on any of them. The ones that I've only collected anywhere from, you know, 1,000 to 4,500 down, I have foreclosed on those. Depending on the state, depending on if they had a mortgage and a promissory note or a contract for deed, it's usually a simple process. You know, I've actually bought some of the parcels back from people that had quite a bit invested in it, because, you know, it's a shame to see them kind of walk away from that. And here's the thing: it's a piece of land. They're going to pay their mortgage or their rent or their cell phone bill way before they pay for that piece of vacant raw land that they're one day maybe going to build on. And you will not believe it. People will pay their cell phone before they'll pay for their house payment.
Well, you know, this is one of those, to be honest with you, Brent, land flipping is always one of my shiny objects. It's one of those things that's always been something out there that I keep thinking that I should look into and pursue. But again, you know, it's part of that thing. Like what type of questions somebody should ask themselves to see if this would be a good fit for them?
Yeah, it's you know, how bad do you want it? Because it is some work. It does take a little work. There is a little bit of a learning curve. Obviously, with the Landsharks program, I try and, you know, get them over that learning curve by taking action immediately. But guys, I put so much out on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok that you could just take these steps and implement what I'm telling you. As far as what to ask themselves is like, how much money do you need to see each month? Like I have a friend that he's like, listen, if I could just make an additional $10,000 a month, my life would be changed forever. And he's doing it. It was just one land deal a month. That's all he had to do with the right criteria, with the right area, and just doing it, going out. Like, you just got to ask yourself, like, are you willing to give up, you know, the night out with the boys, or Thirsty Thursday is what a buddy of mine calls it, or get rid of Netflix? I just finally bought a subscription to Netflix last night. You know why? Because I wanted to learn about what the blue zones are. Like, it's how to live to be 100 in the blue zones. I was like, what's a blue zone? So I bought Netflix last night. I'm not wasting time on Netflix. Like, you know, it's like, how bad do you want it? Most people, like, we got to just time block. We all have busy lives. We have children. We have dogs that poop on the floor, and we have flat tires. Like, life is happening. We have to be so, how do I say it? So aggressive with our time blocking, or before we know it, like, I just realized, well, Facebook reminded me actually, 1 week ago today was my 6-year mark where I got out of the military. I haven't had a real job in 6 years. That was like a blink of an eye. Holy cow, like a blink of an eye.
You know, earlier you were talking about that you had a conversation with your wife, and she was saying that you essentially replaced one job with another. Could you talk a little bit to the concept of getting out of that mindset and me, what I'm trying to get at is scaling up. What I'm trying to get at is that more times than not, we keep talking about financial freedom and everything that entails. But I actually think that what we really mean is regaining our time, doing with it what we want regarding our time. That is the limited amount resources that we have that we want to make better use of. Can you talk about the mindset shift that has to go in, that you've probably run into multiple times now with some of your community members?
Yeah, it's so when I got out of the military, I went from working like 50, 60 crazy hours to like, okay, we have passive income from the land. Now what do I do with my time? I got to build. My worth was on what I brought home and that what I created, like my self-worth, like, because I didn't think I was enough. So I had to keep building, keep growing, keep buying more properties and, you know, buying these campers. The trucks get bigger and the toys get more expensive. It's called lifestyle creep as well. And none of that made us any happier. And I just, I'm reading these books called like Scaling Up and taking courses called Scale. And I'm paying these coaches to scale and learn and all I was doing is adding more stress to myself, more gray hairs, you know, and then it was like, you're doing really well. We were making a ton of money, gross income, what I thought I was making a ton of money. And then we had a few slow months with the housing business when the interest rates went up, and I realized I wasn't able to pay my team. So I was like freaking out. Like I went through the cash really quickly that we had in reserves, and I realized it's like I was doing that all out of ego and to just prove my self-worth to no one cared, honestly, I don't think. And I was also trying to keep up with my friends and looking at what other, you know, big real estate guys were doing. It's like, okay, look at Grant Cardone, look at what Robert Kiyosaki, and all, like, I need to get there. And that's all noise. Like, you got to turn that stuff off. Like, the thief of happiness is comparison. You know, just like, I'd already replaced my income. I had time freedom. Like, we didn't need more. We didn't need more houses, more land deals. It was already there, and we just had to kind of just take the time and just focus on what was making us money. And like Tim Ferriss said, like, I was just working for work's sake.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think you get into that mentality as soon as you free up any time, you fill it with some other venture or endeavor or something else. And that might be part of that entrepreneurial mindset, but it kind of goes against what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and you got to stop moving the goalpost. You know, I had some goals in the gym. I was like, oh man, if I could just ever be 185 pounds, like, life will be different. I'll hit my physical fitness goals. Well, no sooner than we hit it, like, I'm going for 190 now. It's like, come on, like, just be happy and celebrate it. Like, we got to take the time to celebrate those wins. Like, we don't have to have the next goal as soon as it ends. We probably just lost a lot of the audience because, like, no, I'm in growth mode. But there's a point in time where we just got to take the time and celebrate what we've accomplished.
Just again, remind everybody, thelandsharks.com. That's going to be a clickable link in the show notes. And I'll try to also include Brent's YouTube channel because I know that there is a lot of great stuff there. In fact, Brent, you pop up quite often when I'm on YouTube.
Thank you.
So again, it's thelandsharks.com. We're going to transition into the rapid fire questions here in a minute. But before we do, Brent, is there a question or concept you wish we would have chatted about yet here today?
No, this has been great. I hope it provides some value for your audience. And just, if I can say, just take action, you know, just consistently work on, you know, what you're planning to build, you know, that additional income, you know, your ability out of your job, or maybe just an extra $1,000 a month to cover your parents' mortgage payment. I don't know what that is.
Well, Brent, if you're ready, we'll just jump into these. First of all, what lie do real estate investors tell themselves and others?
The lie that they tell themselves and others. Gee whiz. Yeah, it's just sometimes more leads is not what we need. Sometimes we need to be better at just drilling down on the leads, the database, our CRM, what we have in it already, because there's gold in our database.
What book do you recommend, or what are you reading right now?
You know, a book I've been recommending is Profit First for Real Estate Investors, written by David Richter. You know, since I implemented that system, my bank accounts only go up no matter how much land I buy or how much land I sell, because I'm using the Profit First system as well as combined with using private lending. So that's a great book. It's changed my business quite a bit, the Profit First system.
Yeah, he's been on the show, and the method has been great. Well, Mike Michalowicz has been on my show as well.
Really? That's cool.
It's been great chatting with these guys. And I use this as well. And there's no referrals associated with this. So, but I found Novo, an online bank, as well as Relay. Both will let you automatically set up the Profit First system, and if that's what you want to do. So it kind of makes things easier and painless that way. What is one tool you can't live without, whether it's in your personal life or business?
My cell phone.
Yeah,
I would agree. I'll keep that. It simple. It's just a cell phone. I do a lot of texting, you know. And
go ahead.
The tool on the cell phone is the voice memos, the Apple voice memo. And now the update to Apple, I can send the Android a voice memo. So that's really cool.
Yeah. if you could go back in time and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Keep more rentals. Don't sell all of them, which I didn't. I sold quite a few of them. But, you know, even if, you know, just keep more of your rental properties, because one day they will be paid for free and clear, and they'll be like worth like 10 times more than what you bought them for.
What single strategy, process, or tool have you implemented that has a direct time-saving impact on your business, and how?
And a brilliant executive assistant. Having a executive assistant that is smarter than you, more organized than you, and just on it. That is by far a massive lever for a business owner. And you might be thinking, I can't afford an executive assistant. Well, your executive assistant should be at least a 3X multiplier for your time, your income. Just some of the things that my executive assistant does for me, just it takes the mental pressure off of me just to know it's getting done, it's getting filed, and I need an account number. Kelly, please get it for me. And it's done. Like, it's almost like how when they were trying, it's in the book Think and Grow Rich, when they had Henry Ford on trial because they were claiming he was an idiot. He's like, I have a row of numbers on a telephone that I can just dial and ping anybody with the information. It's almost like having that really at your fingertips. If you have the right executive assistant, it's like, I don't have to remember anything. It's there for me. I just pick up the phone.
What type of process did you go through to see that was a multiplier versus an expense?
Yeah, she's definitely not expense. She's an investment. Any team member is an investment. If they're not an investment for you, you need to get rid of them, because if they're not at least double, if you pay them $1,000 a month and they're not bringing you in $2,000 a month minimum, then they're not the right fit for you. What made me allow that is just I had all these tasks on my plate. I couldn't keep up with my email, my phone calls, my text messages. I have quite a few rental properties, even though they're not my money makers. They're my long-term wealth generation and tax preservation. I don't know if that's the right word. Tax shelter, I should say. Wealth preservation. Because, like, I mean, they're paid by, you know, my tenants, and the mortgages are paid down and they appreciate. But, like, I could not live off of them right now until they're paid for. There's no way I could ever live off my rentals. Not right now anyways. But I was trying to manage these and paying property managers. And when I brought someone to help me with all that, it was almost like something lifted off my shoulders and it allowed me to breathe and be calm and focus on what makes my company's money. And me paying bills, me running around picking up mail or scanning in receipts to the bookkeeper or calling a plumber because the toilet's leaking through the second story, that does not make me money. So I pay someone to do that, where I make hundreds and hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars an hour doing a land deal. I pay a smart executive assistant $20 an hour to take care of the rest.
Well, Brent, as always, this has been a great conversation. Again, it is thelandsharks.com. Learn what Brent is up to there. But you're welcome back anytime. I hope you'll come back sooner than this last stint.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Have you learned one actionable step to incorporate into your real estate investing? If so, please consider returning some of that value by leaving a positive review, subscribing to our YouTube channel, or joining our growing network on Facebook and Twitter. You can find links to all of our social media accounts in the show notes. See you next time.